Amazing grace. Is grace still amazing? I hope I hear more amens than that. Is grace still amazing?
Amen.
All right. Just checking on you. Grace is indeed amazing. And it is amazing that I get to open up this book with you week in and week out, and we get to look at it together and see God's amazing grace in the book of Jonah. Go ahead and turn to Jonah. We're going to be in chapter 3 this morning. Jonah chapter 3. And this week's sermon this morning is entitled, The Centrality of the Gospel. The Centrality of the Gospel. If you're just joining us through the book of Jonah and this sermon series we've been going through, we have a very distinct goal. And it's this morning, to equip TCBC to be singularly focused on the Great Commission. That's my goal throughout the book of Jonah. You can write it down in your sermon notes, which, by the way, you should take out and flip over, because on the back of them, there are questions that I have put in there for you to take home, specifically designed to help you in your family worship. I'd like for you to take this insert home and talk to your family about the Lord this week. And so take one night a week and use these questions, if they help you, to talk about this in your homes. So the centrality of the gospel. Christians must have a central message that we are sharing to folks. We have a central message that we're sharing to people. And we're unashamed by it. Romans 1:16 says this, "For I am not ashamed of the gospel. For it is the power of God for salvation to everyone who believes, to the Jew first and also to the Greek." The reason why we are unashamed by the gospel is because that is the only thing that saves people. That's the main idea this morning. The gospel is the only message that we have. That's it. I find it amazing, and I hope you do too, that the revelation of God was written for us in a book, and that this book has statements in it. It has chapters and verses and paragraphs and sentences. And I'm going to make statements today. The gospel, you could present it this way, is a string of statements. Statements that start like this. You are a sinner before God, and you are guilty. And so we're going to be unpacking statements like that this morning from the book of Jonah. The gospel is an offensive message. It's offensive because it creates an opportunity for human beings to look in the mirror of our souls and see the wickedness in our hearts and therefore flee to Christ. Let me read Jonah chapter 3 this morning. And look how the Ninevites respond to God's amazing gospel. "Then the word of the Lord came to Jonah the second time, saying, 'Arise, go to Nineveh, that great city, and call out against it the message that I tell you.' So Jonah arose and went to Nineveh according to the word of the Lord. Now Nineveh was an exceedingly great city, 3 days' journey in breadth. Jonah began to go into the city, going a day's journey, and he called out, 'Yet 40 days, and Nineveh shall be overthrown.' And the people of Nineveh believed God, and they called for a fast and put on sackcloth, from the greatest of them to the least of them. The word of the Lord reached the king of Nineveh, and he arose from his throne, removed his robe, covered himself with sackcloth, and sat in ashes. And he issued a proclamation and published throughout Nineveh, saying, 'By the decree of the king and his nobles, let neither man nor beast, herd nor flock, taste anything. Let them not feed or drink water, but let man and beast be covered with sackcloth, and let them call out mightily to God. Let everyone turn from his evil way and from the violence that is in his hands.'" Who knows? God may turn and relent and turn from his fierce anger so that we may not perish. When God saw what they did, how they turned from their evil way, God relented of the disaster that he had said he would do to them and did not do it. Praise God. Grace is still amazing today, just like it was back then. 226 years ago, October 226 years ago, 14 Baptist missionaries gathered. 1792 is the year. And they committed their whole lives. Young people. They were young people at the time. Committed their whole lives to reaching the unreached. They gathered in a room and, you guessed it, prayed. And prayed. And prayed and prayed. Prayer was the catalyst of the Baptist Missionary Society, known as the Baptist Missionary Society today. Much longer title back then. Back then they had really long titles for sermons and everything else they did. But that was born out of 14 people praying their hearts out to God and asking for God to spread a revival. And you know what happened? Fire. Light. The Great Awakening happened. A year later, they sent out their first missionary. His name was William Carey. William Carey, the missionary to India, gave his life for the sake of the gospel. Here's what Carey said. Christians ought to expect great things from God and attempt great things for God. Y'all believe that? If we have a big God this morning that is still saving people, then our prayers must match his passion for the nations. Oftentimes my prayers fall way short of God's passionate pursuit of rebels. God's plan to reach the unreached people groups of the world. My prayers don't quite match God's passion for that. The article I read about it this week, because it's been in Baptist news, it being 226 years ago in October, this month, 226 years ago, the article ends with a question from Carey. Here's the question. This question is so important for our day today. I want you to answer this question in your heart today. Might God be pleased, quote, might God be pleased to bring about another bold missionary effort in our day? Y'all pray for that? I do. My prayer is that not only today would be the day of salvation for someone in this room, but that it would spark a prayerful, passionate interest in our church that would be impossible for the lost people of Fort Mill to stop. That's the prayer that we all need to put our hearts together and begin praying. And last week I mentioned in the sermon a heart desperate for God. A heart that is desperate for God. I mentioned and I said this. I said, God will not bless until we come to the place of desperation in our prayers and in our hearts for the nations. The nations are lost. And it's not something that we go to God half-heartedly about. Should we go to God in a half-hearted way, he will only bless us half-heartedly. God wants to pour out his full graces on our church and his full grace to Fort Mill and the surrounding cities. Our prayers need to match the prayers of these young people, of these young missionaries that set off the greatest missionary movement and reach the most people of any missionary movement ever. That's what our prayers need to match. Is your heart ready for that today? Where's your heart and where's your mind? Oftentimes we come into Sunday and we are just exhausted. Work's been on our heart. Family has been on our heart. We've got stuff going on at home. We've got financial stuff going on. We've got marriage stuff going on. My prayer is that the book of Jonah would realign this church's heart to be on the same page as God this morning. Those things are important things, but they pale in comparison to the Great Commission. What is your life going to look like when it's all said and done, when it's over? What are people going to say about you when you're gone? Are they going to say, this man gave his life for his company? This man gave his life for Jesus Christ and his mission. I pray they say the latter about you than the former. Don't waste this one life that God's given us. Be singularly focused, and all these things will take care of themselves. Be singularly focused on the Great Commission. The gospel is the central message of that Great Commission. And like I said earlier, it's offensive. It starts out something like this. You are a sinner and need a great Savior. The first two chapters of Jonah, like Adam and Eve in the garden, are running away from the presence of God. They are running away from the presence of God. They want nothing to do with God. Human beings are born rebels. We have ran away from God in our hearts with a mindset and with an attitude that says, God, I'm going to do things my way. This is the predisposed heart that you and I were born with. God, I'm going to do things my way. This is what sin means. This is why the Bible calls it sin, by the way. There's a word for this. This rebelliousness that's in our hearts from God. Jonah heard the word of the Lord and ran the other direction. And this morning, Jonah represents all of humanity. All of humanity. Romans says we are all guilty. There's not a single person that's not guilty before God. And it's not merely just an attitude adjustment that we need this morning. This is not your wrongdoings in your heart, your rebelliousness from God. This is, the Bible does not describe it as a personality difference. This is not a worldview difference from God and from the Bible. The Bible calls your wrongdoing sin. Your lack of putting God in his primary place, your lack of giving full glory to God, the Bible calls that sin. And we are doing no one any favors this morning by calling it anything other than what the Bible calls it. Let's call sin, sin. It's sin. My heart wants to run away from God. That's how I am bent. And the Bible calls this sin. If it's called sin, it needs to be repented of, doesn't it? If it's called sin, that means we have to run away from it and run towards Christ. If it's sin, it needs a Savior. That's why we call it sin. If it's a sin, you can do nothing in your sin to save yourself, and therefore you must cry out to God for help. We do no one any favors by sugarcoating it, calling it a personality difference, a worldview difference, or just something that's a little off about your brain. That's not helpful this morning, and it's also not saving. We have a message that must be central that we take to folks. And Jonah is our guinea pig this morning as we talk about the gospel, the good news of Jesus Christ. If it's sin, that means that we have broken fellowship with God. The relationship has been severed. And we are dead in that relationship. If it's sin, that means it has a wage. And that wage is death. If it's sin, that means it must be paid for. That wage must be paid for. And if there is a wage that must be paid for, it must be paid for by blood, the Bible says. You see where I'm going with this? If there is a wage to be paid, which there is, Jesus Christ paid that wage. And if he paid that wage in full, then our hearts are full with gratitude in him this morning, knowing that our sins are completely forgiven. Let's call sin, sin, because sin needs to be repented of. Sin needs to be turned away from. Sin requires a payment. The payment has been paid through the precious blood of Christ. And that payment, that wage that has been fully paid, means that God gets all the glory and there is no boasting. That's the message of the gospel this morning. And that message must be central. We have a word. We have a talk that we bring to folks. And it must be that. We are dead in our trespasses and sins, Ephesians chapter 2 says. And dead men need life to be breathed into them. Your sin creates a total separation from you and God that only Jesus Christ can bring together. I love verse 10 of chapter 2. Look at it here. And the Lord spoke to the fish. It's getting very embarrassing for Jonah at this point in the book. And I mentioned this a few weeks ago. Think about it. The sailors obey God. The wind and the waves obey God. The ship is personified and it wants to break up. But God says, no ship, do not break up. The ship obeys God. The mariners obey God. The wind and the waves obey God. The lot obeys God. The fish obeys God and then obeys God again and spews Jonah out on dry land. A Jew reading this book, reading it and listening to it, hears dry land and also hears the story of the Exodus, where there were two miracles. Two. The walls of water go up and create a path, and they pass through on what kind of land, church? Dry land. Two miracles. It's dry. The salvation of God, a Jew is reading this book and almost snickering. The salvation of God's about to come to the Ninevites. It's about to come. God is relentlessly in pursuit of the rebel Jonah. If it's sin, church, which it is, that means that only grace can conquer it. Let's see the grace. Here's the grace of God. Chapter 3, verse 1. Then the word of the Lord came to Jonah the second time. The second time. God didn't speak one word to Jonah and have Jonah rebel. And God says, I'm done with you, Jonah. I'm just done. I'm going to go get another prophet. Somebody that's better than you. I'm going to choose somebody that's a little brighter, a little more respectful, a little more repentant, a little wiser, and a man that's a little more righteous. Does that sound like the pattern of people God chooses in the Old Testament to you? I can think of many examples where God chooses, I'm going to be nice this morning and just say not smart people. Not very talented people. Sinful people that God calls all over the place to use to further the Great Commission. Think of Abraham. Abraham was a knucklehead. Lies about his wife being his sister. Moses, murderer. I mean, when you go down the line, David, did King David have some issues? Sure. When you go down the line, the pattern in the Old Testament is not God choosing a bunch of grand, non-sinful people to pursue His Great Commission. That's not the pattern of the Old Testament. Certainly not the pattern of the New Testament either. Think of the disciples. They were kids. They were kids. Lots of evidence, internal and external evidence, says that these were just kids. James and John were fishing in the boat with their father. Why was their father in the boat with them when Jesus called? These were probably teenagers. They weren't ready for this yet. Jesus says, follow me. And James and John are like, okay. Are you sure about this? Got the right guys? Change the world. The pattern is God using knuckleheads to further His Great Commission. I'm no different. Neither are you. Let's be honest this morning. We're not. Part of the message today, and I didn't want to entitle it this way, is you're not special. That would be a bad sermon title, and people wouldn't come back. But we're not. The message today is we are dirty, rotten, sinful people that God, in His grace, uses to further the Great Commission. Jonah's no different than this. Absolutely no exceptions in the room. You are not special, talented, smart, individually brilliant. God can't further His kingdom without me, people, this morning. We're not. We're sinful, stubborn, and God's going to drag us kicking and screaming by the hand as He always did Israel to accomplish His mission. The word of the Lord came to Jonah a second time. God pursues you, church, not the other way around. And I want y'all to feel that this morning. You in your sin, Romans 3, 10 and following says, you are running away from God. In His grace, God turned you and changed your heart to allow you to see Him for who He really is. God pursues you this morning, not the other way around. Grace, the definition of grace, is unmerited favor. You did not earn God's grace. It would cease to be grace if it was something that you could earn. In your sin, you could not earn it. The word of the Lord comes to Jonah and you, maybe for the 80th time this morning. Come and be saved. Come and be saved. King Jesus is calling out. He's sending His Holy Spirit. Are we as a church going to be faithful to take that message? You say, Matt, I'm a sinner. God can't use me. That's exactly the point. And that's why God wants to use you this morning. Matt, I'm not special, not talented, can't do anything for God. You're perfect. You're absolutely perfect. A person who is desperate for God, who knows that he or she has nothing to bring to the table. Man, job description is perfect. God loves that personality. God loves that heart disposition. Somebody who knows the depravity of their own heart and who says, Lord, use me despite me. That is the heart of a person that can be used of God. Jonah's not quite there yet. He's not quite there yet. The amazing thing in between chapters 2 and 3 is what we do not read. You say, Matt, Jonah gets up and obeys God in verse 2. That he does. But there is a difference between obedience out of joy and what I call mechanical obedience. Mechanical obedience. And parents with little kids, maybe teenagers, you'll feel me on this one. You ever given your kid, told them something to do, and they do it, but with a pouty attitude. I can't stand whining, right? I hear whining in my house, and we're like, no whining. And we say that a lot in our house, right? Because what we're trying to teach our kids and what you're trying to teach your kids is not just obedience. Yes, God wants obedience. But He wants obedience out of a delightful heart, out of a heart that says, yes, God, here I am, send me, Lord. So the cleaning your room shouldn't be the cleaning of your room with a stinky attitude. And we're all born with a stinky attitude. Jonah obeys God, but it's mechanical. It's robotic. Okay, God. Sure. What we do not read, especially when you read chapter 4, is delight in God. What you would think you would read in between chapter 2 and 3 is Jonah just absolutely saying, God, I repent. I'm so sorry. I was wrong. I'm going to turn. Like the Ninevites do, by the way. It's getting more and more embarrassing for Jonah. Y'all see that in the book? The Ninevites respond the way that the prophet of God is supposed to respond for the nations. Brokenhearted. Calling out desperately for God. But we don't read about a full repentance from Jonah. In fact, when you close the book of Jonah, you can read it in a very and be very depressed. Jonah never really fully comes around and repents. He's just on top of the mountain, and there's no plant to cover his face with a scorching east wind that God appointed. We'll get to that later. And the book ends. It just stops. I really want a chapter 5, but there is none. The fifth chapter of your heart and my heart needs to be, God, I am so grateful for you sending me and you putting me, giving me the life you've given me, giving me everything that you have given me so that I can glorify you, Lord. That's a person that's been changed by grace. You show me a grace-filled heart, and I will show you a missionary. To the degree that we misunderstand grace, devalue and belittle sin, is the degree in which we cease to be a more effective missionary than we could be. Shun any doctrine, any preacher, any church that seeks to belittle sin and not call it for what it is, an offense against God, a rebellious heart attitude towards your Maker that needs to be fully repented of, and therefore embracing the grace. That is a salty Christian. That is a person that was saved out of the cry of desperation from our hearts, like the two blind men in the Gospels that Jesus saves. Lord, Son of David, have mercy on us. Remember that story? That's how they respond. The demoniac, when he runs up to Christ, when he steps foot on the other side, goes to the side of the Gentiles, comes running up to him. Remember that story? Falls at Jesus' feet. The demons know who the Lord is and obeyed Jesus when he sent him to the swine. They did not do it delightfully, though. The message for the Christian is obey, but obey with delight in your heart. To be counted worthy to be one that would be sent to the nations. My heart's been torn up by this week. See, what I want to communicate to you is that God has been working on my heart throughout this whole series of Jonah, as I trust He's also been working on your hearts. God's been tearing me up with this in my study, and so what I give to you on Sunday morning isn't anything that I haven't been wrestling with in my own spirit. I care, I mentioned last week, that sometimes I do not care. That my heart is on 50 other things other than the centrality of the good news of Jesus Christ. I just care too much about other things. Too concerned about planning for my retirement. Too concerned about money. Too concerned about my family. Too concerned about these things to prioritize the Great Commission in my life. I'm just too busy. We live in a society, it's so busy, isn't it? It's so busy. It's so busy that we have to intentionally get rid of things in our lives. We have to get rid of TV shows that we love to make time to read the Word. We have to get rid of maybe this friend or that friend that is pulling us away from Christ. We have to constantly get rid of things because our society is so busy, so that we can prioritize the Great Commission. There are a lot of good things that are going around in our lives. They're morally neutral things. They're not good. They're not evil. They're just morally neutral. But our society and our culture is so busy that if we don't intentionally strip those things away from our schedule, we won't have time to prioritize the Great Commission. We won't have time to tell people of the grace of God that's been in our life. God's grace is so great this morning that He is pursuing you if you are running away from Him. Scripture says, while we were yet sinners, Christ died for us. It's also displayed in an unchanging message. An unchanging message. Jonah chapter 3, verse 2 is the same message, you'll notice, as Jonah chapter 1, verse 2. It's the same message. God is unchanging in His message for you. You may have been running away from God for the past 10 years. The message for you 10 years ago was God's grace in Jesus Christ is sufficient to pay the wage that your sin bought you. And that message is no different today. God is an unchanging God. What He promises, He will fulfill. Scripture says, everyone who calls on the name of the Lord shall be saved. I find it amazing that God gives Jonah the exact message that He gave him back in chapter 1, however many days ago that was. It's the same message. God's grace is also displayed in what Jonah called out to Nineveh. We finally get the message. You say, what's the message? We finally get it in chapter 3. Look at verse 4. Jonah began to go into the city, going a day's journey, and he called out. Here's the message that we finally get. Yet 40 days, mark that, and Nineveh shall be overthrown. Why isn't the message, this evening, Nineveh will be overthrown? You would think that would make them fall down to their knees, the king take his robe off, get away from his throne, sit in ashes, just like it would 40 days, and Nineveh will be overthrown. You would think if it was less time, that would cause more of a distressful reaction. What saves people, though? Grace. Grace saves people. There is grace oozing all over this message that Jonah is reluctantly screaming out in the central part of Nineveh. 40 days and Nineveh will perish. That is plenty of time to repent. Reminds me of 2 Peter 3:9. The Lord is not slow to fulfill His promise, as some count slowness, but is patient towards you. God is patient towards you this morning, not willing that any should perish, but that all should reach repentance. God is patient with you this morning, but do not misunderstand the grace and the patience of God for anything other than the grace of God. Do not presume upon His patience. Scripture says today is the day of salvation. If you hear His voice, harden not your heart. Today is the day of salvation. Scripture teaches that the Messiah, Jesus Christ, is going to come back very quickly. But do not presume upon the patience of the Lord. Cry out in repentance just like the Ninevites are doing today. Do that today. Yet 40 days and Nineveh will be overthrown. The gospel message that must be central to you and I's talk with lost people is about sin. It's calling sin, sin. It's also about God's grace. But it would be incomplete without God's mercy this morning. God's mercy. Grace, the definition of grace, is unmerited favor. It's getting what you do not deserve. Mercy is the flip side of that. Mercy is not getting what you do deserve. Not getting what you do deserve. The Ninevites deserved, you and I deserve, the destruction of God. Shy away from any church, any preacher that devalues or makes hell seem like an overreaction from God upon sinners. Hell is not an overreaction. Eternal, literal hell that people are going apart from you, opening up your mouth and sharing Christ with them. This is where lost people outside of Christ are going. And Jesus says there will be weeping and gnashing of teeth. All over the Gospels he says this. There will be weeping and gnashing or grinding of your teeth. It's going to be so terrible. The seriousness of hell must mean that we need to be serious and put the gospel message as prominent, as first place in our lives. That's what the doctrine of hell teaches. And without the mercy of God, your salvation packaged message, whatever you do, would be incomplete, praise the Lord. What you and I deserve is hell, eternal hell apart from God. In His mercy, church, He pursued you. In His mercy came after you and changed your heart. Let's read about it. Jonah chapter 3, look at verse 5. Amazing. And the people of Nineveh believed God. They believed God. Reminds me of Genesis 15:6. Abraham believed God and it was credited to him righteousness. Your righteousness, your goodness is alien. It is not of you. It is outside of you. It was given to you by the goodness, by the righteousness of another. You're too nasty to have righteousness. Righteousness must be given to you. And it was given to you by Jesus, who was sinless and who died for you. Jonah 3 verse 5, the people of Nineveh believed God. It's amazing to me. They called for a fast, meaning they did not eat. Refused to eat food. This is how distressful and how shocking Jonah's message came into their souls. They refused to eat. They put on sackcloth. The message of this is, be really uncomfortable on the outside to reflect the uncomfortable of my uncomfortable heart right now. Sackcloth is not comfortable. This is what they wore. They didn't eat. They put on a certain garment. It was all depicting humility. From the greatest of these to the least of these. Don't miss that verse. God is impartial, non-prejudiced. In His lavish nature of extending grace. That's why you're here. I'm not a Jew. Maybe some of you have Jewish background. I'm not. I'm a white boy from Florida. God's grace even extended to me. Praise God. God's grace is non-prejudice. We'll get into this more in chapter 4. Jonah has a problem with his heart. He's prejudiced. He does not want lost people because they don't deserve it. They're too wicked. Nineveh does not deserve God's grace, so thought Jonah. How's your heart doing this morning? Mine's tore up. Who doesn't deserve God's grace? God wishes to bestow grace on every soul if they would but just turn and repent. Watch the king's reaction. The word reached the king. What's the writer telling us? Everyone from the greatest of these to the least of these. Here's the greatest. You see what he's doing? Everyone and everyone in between. From the newborn baby to the king of Nineveh. Listen to the king. When the word reached the king, he got off his throne. Got off his throne. Removed his robe. Covered himself with sackcloth and sat in ashes. That is a repentant heart. The Father is seeking such hearts as the king of Nineveh. That should have been Jonah's heart. And that should be my heart this morning. In the face of my sin, in the face of my indifference and nonchalant attitude towards the Great Commission. That should be the church's response to sin. Removing yourself off the throne of your own heart. Humbling ourselves like the king of Nineveh. God's looking for such people. And God is seeking such churches to use as a trampoline for communities. Let's get on the same page with God. The king of Nineveh sat in ashes. Where's your soul this morning? Jesus says, blessed, happy. Blessed or happy is the one who mourns. Are you mourning for your sin this morning? When you look at the lost people around us, how does your heart respond? Does it respond with, I don't have enough time? Or does it weep for people like the king of Nineveh did? Don't miss God's response. You miss God's response, you miss chapter 4, verse 2. Don't miss God's response. How does God respond to a sinner who knows she is a sinner and who fully returns to God, repents, leaves his old life, turns towards Christ and says, Christ, I've got nothing. I have no spiritual merit whatsoever. I can do nothing to earn it. I'm too bankrupt. I'm too wicked. My spirit and my soul are humbled today, and I wish there were some ashes around here to sit on, but I don't have any. That is how God responds to sinners right at the end of chapter 3. Don't miss it. It's so plain, and the message today is so plain and so simple. God relented from the disaster that he said he would bring upon Nineveh. And here's the simple message of the gospel. If you turn and repent, you will discover the God of Jonah chapter 4, verse 2. God will turn from his righteous anger. It's not an unrighteous anger. God is righteous to be angry with you if you are unrepentant and refusing to come to him. The message is so plain to you. The gospel is offered to you this morning. My prayer is that someone would respond like the king of Nineveh and repent today. And God's word promises, God himself promises in his word, if you respond like the king of Nineveh, God will turn his face towards you, smile upon you, extend grace to you, give you his mercy, and relent from the disaster that is coming your way should you not repent. Please don't do that. Please don't do that. Please don't speak any other message to your neighbor this week, next week, your lost family member. Let's call sin, sin, because that highlights God's grace, highlights His mercy, and gives Him all the credit. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, our sin we don't even understand our own heart this morning. We are running away from You in rebels. Lord, I pray that You would open our eyes and breathe life into dead souls this morning. I pray that people would turn and repent and respond. And it's in Christ's name I pray. Amen. If you would like to turn and trust in Christ right now, I will be up here to talk to you. We also have an opportunity for you after the worship service has concluded. In room 4, right behind the sound booth, there will be counselors if you are uncomfortable talking to me for any reason. But I'll be up here if you want to come and respond today. If not, that is a second opportunity for you in the back after the service is over.